But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Got an interesting tweet here. We're talking about what it's like to be a Pittsburgh sports fan these days and how you would think with the way things are going that there would be massive change in all of our organizations, franchises, Pitt football, things like that. Instead, they all appear to be doubling and tripling down on stability. It's gone from the city of champions to the city of stability for stability's sake. It's not getting us anywhere. Someone named Josh tweets myself and Limits and says, it's not the city of stability anymore. It's the city of complacency. That's very good. I think you said that, Bob.
Yeah, interesting that, word there. But yeah, it sums it up, kind of.
It's complacency disguised as stability. You were going to say something, though, at the end of the
I was going to say there are ways, you know, if you want to be aggressive and if they realize the quarterback situation is, as Ben Johnson says yesterday in his press conference, I found it interesting that he says the number one thing when you do analytics of any sort, you realize quarterbacks in this day and age of football mean more than turnovers and create turnovers. You know, that,
yes,
that's, and it struck a chord there, knowing that, you know, obviously you don't want to make turnovers and you want to force them, but there's no guarantee you can do that in game. So what is more important than a quarterback? Not much in the NFL. So to my point here, there are a lot of teams in the top three. Titans draft 1, Browns draft 2, Giants 3, and New England 4. These teams, some of them do have quarterbacks, some don't. Patriots are the one I'm circling. They don't. I mean, they should have Drake May as their quarterback. They drafted him. They seem to like him. They need other things if they're going to be better. If you're going to make a trade, you can be aggressive and move up to that spot. I know it's going to cost a lot, but you may have to do that at some point. If not now, you know, maybe
next
year.
Where are they picking?
4.
Yeah. Yes.
Jaguars are 5. They're not going to go against their quarterback. They need help also. These are teams that you can actually move up. You're going to have to trade a lot to get it, but be in a position to draft one of those kind of quarterbacks if you so desire.
Man, I agree. And I've been saying this for years, that you figure that out and you worry about everything else later. And the fact of the matter is, a great quarterback can take a mediocre roster to really nice places. CJ Stroud, that Texans team last year, that was not a good roster. He lifted a team all by himself. And by the way, by the end of this year, they were pretty damn good too. You just saw him in the playoffs stand toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, even though he's got no offensive line, which is a problem. Joe Burrow took a team with no offensive line. It's a pretty good weapons and a good D at that point. But he took them all the way to the Super Bowl. He's right. I mean, it's just so obvious with quarterbacks that's what they have to do. And then you get that guy, the rest you can figure out. You figure it out on the run. But if you don't have him, then the rest is just rearranging
right.
deck
and
chairs.
If their analysis really comes to the conclusion they don't have the guy they think is necessary to have for their future, then they have to make moves like this. The other alternative is to just sink to this level where you're going to go 4 or 5 overall in the draft. They seem to be against that sort of thing. So what do? Wait? If you keep waiting, you're going to end up chasing for the rest of the years.
It's a good thing that they dropped to 6 and 10 that year to get Ben, or we may be on, 20 years of the same thing if they don't get Ben.
Right. And I understand there's no guarantee you may pick the wrong quarterback. Some teams have done that.
Yeah, but Chicago, you want to give yourself the opportunity.
First
to
overall,
pick the right
and
one.
They went from Trubisky to Fields to Caleb Williams. I mean, they keep bringing in. You got to be right with it if you're going to get up there. But you have to be there. That's where it all starts. You can't be at 21. What are they going to really get at 21? Is there a quarterback worth taking at 21? I don't think so.
Not this year, but some years.
Some years, but not this year.
I don't know. I don't know with this year's quarterback the Dart kid, Jackson Dart.
He's fine, but he's going to be a mid round.
Yeah, he's a third round.
Mid round?
Probably third.
Maybe second.
Well, let's hit the lines. Let's hear from people.
All right, let's go to Brian, who is in Pittsburgh.
What's up, Brian?
Hey, thanks, guys. City of Champions, we are not anymore. Complacency, mediocrity, and, my belief is it starts at the top. It starts with ownership, right? And you could look at the Pirates and Bob Nutting. It's well documented, the issues there. We can look at the Pittsburgh Penguins, right, with the recent transfer of ownership to the Fenway Sports Group.
Who do you associate with Penguins ownership? Who's the guy?
I honestly, no one, right? I've always associated growing up Mario Lemieux and Ron Burkle, right? There's no face there anymore.
Right,
no.
That's my
John
point,
John Henry
Bob.
Is the face, but no one knows the face.
That's my point.
Run it as a business.
It's a corporate. They've gone from a family business to a corporate business.
It's just an asset for them.
It's just an asset. Go ahead.
Right. So pivoting, away from the Pirates and the Penguins over to the Steelers situation, right? Again, objectively, we can say, Mike Tomlin probably isn't doing the greatest of jobs. But again, it goes back to the top. And I look at, recently, I think last week, the NFL Players Association, they released their annual report, and the Steelers ownership came in with a grade F. They were ranked 31st out of 32 teams. So my question for you guys is, what exactly is going on with, from the players' perspective that they're rating ownership, so poorly, right? I mean, I think you guys are pretty objective. You ask a lot of hard-hitting questions, but it seems like there needs to be sort of an expose, a focus on what's going on down there. Is it that, some folks that are covering the team, are they afraid of getting the, God rest soul, John Clayton shoulder pad, treatment, right? That they're afraid to ask the hard questions. But I think, if we want to get to the root of, hey, why is Tomlin still around? Why are we accepting all this?
We did get to the root of that. Jim Rooney, who is Art the Second's brother, I think gave us a very clear window, agree or disagree with him, into the philosophy. And I compared it yesterday to following your investments, to following a mutual fund. Their theory is if we're above the mean over long stretches of time, making a little bit of money on our investment, not literally probably, but I'm still using the mutual fund metaphor, then that's good enough. And he said, basically, in so many words, Jim Rooney, who I have to think was giving us a window into his brother's thoughts and philosophy, told us you should appreciate and be satisfied with the fact that over the long term, the Steelers are outperforming the mean. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't feel that great about it, guys, right? Because, I would argue that, maybe you're a season, two seasons away from not being a 500 team. The winning record goes away, right? T.J. Watt moves on, right? Cam Hayward retires, right? And things turn, can go south pretty quickly there. So if you don't have a good ownership group to, lean back on, right, how do you start to build up, a nice, robust, franchise again, right? Tomlin moves on, right? You're left with very little to nothing, right?
Well, I think that's where they need to get to, Bob, is to be left with little to nothing and rebuild. That's how the 70 Steelers built.
It's one exactly. It's how every team was built. It's how the Pittsburgh Penguins won twice because they were so bad, they got Lemieux. And then they were so bad, and then they got Crosby. And a whole bunch of other number one picks that followed. That is one way to do it, but you know they're not in the business of trying to lose on purpose to do that, or at least designed to, and that may be, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I think they're in a position now where I can actually see them falling off a little bit here in the next couple of years. They may not like that because they don't want to be that team, but maybe it is the best case scenario for them, which is why I don't think they should invest a lot of money in Russell Wilson. So I think you can probably get to a point where you're going to be, instead of 10-7, 7-10. And if you're 7-10, all of a sudden you're drafting 9th or 10th. So you could put yourself in that position even without trying to sabotage your own, you know, situation. So, but I would be aggressive. I'm sorry. I wouldn't wait around anymore. I would just say, look, we got to make changes.